بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This masjid of the Aminat schools in Boso local government area of Niger State, Nigeria, this Tuesday, the 11th day of Ramadan, 1443 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. We are reading Surah Al-Nisa, and we have gotten up to the 94th, right? 94th verse of Surah Al-Nisa. We still have a few things to say about the 94th before we get to the 95th. We have recited the 95th. Last week, we recited it yesterday. Okay, so inshallah we'll finish 94 and do 95, and then inshallah, if Allah permits, we'll continue from there. What we have started reading, or what we have started hearing of the explanations concerning this verse, I think you should recite the verse again.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا فعند الله مغانم كثيرة، كذلك كنتم من قبل فمن الله عليكم فتبينوا، إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم، وفضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على المعلمين درجة، وكلا وعد الله الحسنى، وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا تَبْتَغُونَ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَغَانِمُ كَثِيرًا كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Now we have started taking the meanings of some of the statements made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. And we have reached Arab al-hayat al-dunya fa'inda Allahi maghanimu kathira. That is, we have told the story, the sabab al-nuzul, and then we have also looked at even the different qira'at. The two differences that we mentioned are the ones that concern the words, how the words are pronounced. But as for the technicalities of the different riwayat, we did not get into that. And we usually do not get into the details of those. Only when the words are pronounced differently do we concern ourselves more with. Like Salama, instead of Salam, and then Tathabbatu, instead of Tabayyan. But then, like the sakt you hear in some qira'at, the nakal you hear in some, the taqleel you hear in some, and the rest, we have not given emphasis, laid emphasis on those. So, but then we have mentioned how there are differences in the pronunciation as the qira'at differ. Then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we have heard, is warning or is admonishing the Sahaba concerning a mistake that was made, and we mentioned the sabab al-nuzul, and we mentioned the involvement of Usama bin Zayd in this, and how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was very angry with him, and how he had wished that he had not embraced Islam before then. I think we mentioned all of those yesterday. So, after this happened, Allah said to the Sahaba, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. There's a repetition of the word فَتَبَيَّنُوا, or like Kisa'i and Hamza would recite فَتَثَبَّتُوا. There's a repetition of that for a reason. But then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ. That is how you were before now. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered His blessings on you and bounties, and then made you what you are today. So the ulama have disagreed concerning the meaning of this. Some ulama say that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here is كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ, that كُنْتُمْ كُفَّارًا كَمَا أَنَّهُمْ كُفَّارُ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَسْلَمْتُمْ, that it, like those people were kuffar, you were also kuffar at the time before now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now made you Muslims. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً, like he says in another ayah. And then in another ayah also he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are on the verge of falling into hellfire, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you. So they are saying that this ayah is like those, that it's reminding the Sahaba of the fact that they were actually like that too in the past, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them what they are today, that they is reminding them that they were kuffar like those who were also kuffar. But some ulama disagree with this on the basis that the person that they killed, who was the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah, was not a kafir. Because he had shown that he was a Muslim, he said, Assalamu alaikum to them. Or in the case of Osama, he said, La ilaha illallah. So it cannot be that the verse was revealed because of that reason, and yet you are saying that the person that you killed was a kafir, but that you were also kafir before you became Muslims, just like that person was also a kafir. If he was a kafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have blamed them for killing him. Because the war is between Muslims and kuffar. So if you are in a battle with the kuffar and you kill a kafir, how can Allah be condemning what you did? How can Allah rebuke you for that? When that is what you went to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his prophet, Ya ayyuhan nabiyu jahidil kuffara wal munafiqeen waghluz alayhim wa ma'awahum jahannam. To the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you know, he encourages the Muslims to fight. And in fact, he said in another surah to Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam, harrad al mu'minina ala al qital, right? So that you should encourage the mu'minin to fight against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we saw the qissa of the mala min Bani Israel min ba'd Musa. إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيِّ اللَّهُ مُبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قال هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِنْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. To the end of the verse. So, qital is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even encourages when there is need for it. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Right? أُذِنَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission to those who are being fought because they have been oppressed, because they have been wronged, Allah has given them permission to fight back. So in cases like that, it is permissible to fight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not have been rebuking them simply because they fought a kafir or they killed a kafir. So this is not acceptable. Then the second set of ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you did not know that man's Islam because he was hiding it. He was hiding it because where he was, the majority of the people were non-Muslims. If he had shown his Islam, they would have oppressed him. They probably would kill him and so on. So he was hiding his Islam. Like the mu'minu Ali Fir'aun in the days of Fir'aun. He was also hiding his Islam before he finally brought it open. And then, you know, like the Muslims too, the muhajirun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. In the beginning, they were hiding their Islam. They didn't make it open. In fact, at the time, Muslims were praying inside the house. It was said that the coming of people like Umar bin Khattab and Hamza and the rest was how the Muslims left the house and came out to start praying. If not, they were actually praying inside the house. Because they were afraid of being harmed and because they were weak at that time in number and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلُ. That is, at the time you were also hiding your Islam and were not making it open because of the fear of being harmed. Just like these people are doing today. So this man, you did not know his Islam because he was hiding it. He wasn't bringing it to the open because of the environment in which he existed. And you know, he was in the minority. So the fact that you didn't know his Islam does not mean that he was not a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking them and telling the Sahaba that he shouldn't just have based his Islam on your knowledge of his Islam or lack of it. Or that the man was there with the kuffar even though he was a Muslim. That's not an excuse. As long as the person has shown his Islam to you and tried to let you see that he is a Muslim, he said to you, Assalamu alaikum, to show you that he's a Muslim like you. لا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام وسلام لست مؤمنا. Do not say that. Now, this is the سبب النزول. But you know, the ayat of the Quran are not only limited to their asbab al-nuzul. They can extend to issues that are just beyond the sabab al-nuzul as long as they're still within the same sphere. That's why the ulama of usul fiqh say, al-ibratu bi-umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sababi. That what we are more concerned about is the implication of the statement, how it can be applied in general, not just about the particular case that led to the statement. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and give of what Allah has given you. Give out, be charitable, feed the poor, and so on. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, for the sake of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا التَّهْلُكَ, and do not use your hands to destroy yourselves. وَأَحْسِنُوا, and be good. Reach out. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, because Allah loves those who are good, who are kind to people. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained that the meaning of this verse is that it was revealed actually concerning the Ansar. That when the Muhajirun came, they were very kind to them. They would split their houses in two and give one part of the house to the Muhajir and then build a wall in between, so that this side now belongs to this person. Some of them would even say, I have three wives, look at them. Any of them that pleases you, I will divorce her, and then you will marry her. They were so generous, they were so kind to the Muhajirun. But they said, after some time, they began to feel, okay, now everybody can be on his own. We have been so kind, we have provided for them, we have given them a good footing, and now we can let them be on their own. So we'll no longer give them anything, they should fend for themselves. So Allah said concerning that, do not use your hands to destroy yourselves, meaning that being stingy could destroy you. So stinginess, niggardliness is actually self-destructive. You are destroying yourself if you refuse to give out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If you have the wherewithal, you should also give at least something of what you have to somebody who is needy. You shouldn't just say you live alone with your family and so on. That's destroying yourself. Because that wealth will destroy you on the day of resurrection. Allah will ask you, I gave you this, I gave you that. Why didn't you give it to so and so when he was needy? You will not be able to give a tenable answer, and so you may be punished for that. And so you see, that's self-destruction. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari would say, this is the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah. But the fact that this is the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah does not mean that it's only in such cases that the ayah is applicable. It's not only in such a case. If you are taking something that will destroy your health, you're taking alcohol, for instance, somebody could use that ayah for you. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا التَّهْلُكَ. Do not use your hands to put yourself in self-destruction, to destroy yourselves. Do not use your hands to do that. You're buying the cigarette with your money, you're smoking, and it's causing you cancer and so on. And it's destroying your, is it liver or what is it that the cigarette destroys? Lungs and so on. You're destroying your lungs with your own hand. They can use that ayah because al-ibratu bi-umumi al-lafzi la bi-khususi al-sababi. You can apply the thing generally, not just on the sabab al-nuzul. So here, This ayah is talking about battle. You went fi darabtum fi sabilillah, and then you met somebody and he said, "Assalamu alaikum, I'm a Muslim like you." But you killed them all the same. You refused to accept his salam because you considered him a non-Muslim. This is what the ayah is talking about. This is why the ayah was revealed, but this is not the only way the ayah can be applied. The words that appear in the ayah can be used in other circumstances. So generally speaking, if somebody comes to you as a Muslim and says, "Assalamu alaikum," some ulama say that it's a sunnah for the person to say that. But you have been greeted with that, you say it becomes compulsory on you to say "Wa alaykum assalam." At least if the person says "Assalamu alaykum," you say "Wa alaykum assalam." It's compulsory. Why? Allah says, "Idha huyyitum bi tahiyyatin fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha." The least of these two is the one that you take as compulsory. So it is Allah has given you a command. وَالْأَمْرُ يَتَّضِ الْوَجُوبِ. If Allah or Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam command you to do something, it is compulsory. Unless you are able to bring a reason why you will say, okay, that reason says it's not compulsory. But you have no choice. Somebody says to you, "Assalamu alaikum," you have to say, "Wa alaikum assalam." So do not say, "You are not a good Muslim, so I will not accept your salam," or "I do not accept your salam," or "Because I do not know you, I'm not sure whether you are a good Muslim or not, so I will not accept your salam." Do not say that. Or "Because you are not in my sect, you are not in our society, you do not pray in our mosque," and so on, "and so I will not accept your salam." That is a big mistake. That's a big mistake for any Muslim to make. If anybody says to you, "Assalamu alaikum," then you must say, "Wa alaykum as-salam." If anybody says, "La ilaha illallah," you must say that the person is a Muslim. Unless the person does something to show clearly that he or she is not a Muslim. For instance, somebody says, "La ilaha illallah," but he brings the Quran deliberately, spreads it, and defecates on it. Do you expect a Muslim to do this? Unless he did not know. But I said deliberately. He knew it was the Quran. He opened it and then he defecated on it. The ulama said this is an act of kufr. Nobody who believes will do that. Or like Ibn Taymiyyah says, the person does not pray. And then you bring the person. The Qadi will bring the person and ask him to perform a salah. And he will say, "No, I will not." They will tell him the implication. If you do not perform after 3 days, we give you a chance after 3 days. If you do not perform, we will take it that you are no longer a Muslim. We will kill you. And he will say, "Yes, I prefer to be killed, but I will not pray." Shaykh al-Islam says, no Muslim will choose to be killed over salah. So that person is not a Muslim. He hates salah so much that he prefers to be killed. He would rather be killed than to perform salah. It means he hates it. If you hate any act of ibadah, you are not a Muslim. Or you hate kalimatu la ilaha illallah. People tell you, "Say la ilaha illallah," you say, "I'd rather die." But then you say you are a Muslim. You are not a Muslim. So though you have said you are a Muslim, your action has shown you are not. Unless the action shows, if anybody says to you, "La ilaha illallah," you must accept the person as a Muslim. This Islam is not yours. And do not make it yours. So you don't have to be the one to say, "This one, I must give him a place in Islam. He must be thrown out of Islam. Allah could also throw you out of Islam. So, concerning people, we judge them using that which we hear from them and that which we see them do. If they act as Muslims, we call them Muslims. You see, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam could not fight him because he prayed along with the Muslims. He said, La ilaha illallah. He pretended to be a Muslim, even though Allah had revealed he was not a Muslim. But because there was nothing clearly to hold him with, he was left like that. Even when he died, the Muslims could not completely reject him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam could not reject him, even though some of the Sahaba were saying, no, he was a munafiq, do not pray for him. So, it's important for us to also understand this. So, even if the person is a Shiite, even if the person is a Shaytani, these ones that say they are Quraniyun, they're actually Shaytaniyun. They reject Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, separating between Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah is kufr. If you say you accept the commandments of Allah, you have to accept the orders of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Because it's Rasul Allah that gave him the right to do the bayan of the Quran. So the Quran comes, you know, mujmal, and then Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam will expand it and give you the bayan of what the Quran is talking about. So if you say you do not accept Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. This is automatically disobeying Allah. Yet, as long as the person identifies themselves as Muslim, you as the individual cannot declare that the person is a non-Muslim. It is for the courts to do that. Since the courts cannot do that, if he comes and says, Assalamu alaikum, you say, Wa alaikum assalam. Not even that. A Christian or a Jew or a fire worshipper, if he comes to you and says, Assalamu alaikum, what you must say is, Wa alaikum assalam. Because the general commandment is, Idha huyitum bi tahiyatin. If you are greeted with a greeting, Fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. Greet with a greeting that is better than that which has been used to greet you, or at least say exactly that which the person has said. So if he says, Assalamu alaikum, you say, Wa alaikum salam. That will do. Or you can add, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. That is better. Because Allah says, Bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. So if he says, Assalamu alaikum, you can say, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can even add wa maghfiratu, so thank you. If he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the least you can say is, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Because he says, awrudduha. So in his own case, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So you cannot just say, Wa alaikum assalam. No. You have to say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Or you can then add wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. So if he says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, then you have to say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Then you would have repeated exactly the greeting with which he greeted you. If you add wa maghfiratuhu, you have added bi aw ahsana minha. I hope this is understood. So generally, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, what he said is, لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام. Do not start Do not be the one to initiate the salam, to say assalamu alaikum. And if they say to you assalamu alaikum, then you say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did it. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari copied him and did the same. When he was writing a letter to the non-Muslims, he said to them, assalamu alaikum. They asked him, why are you doing that? He said, because they wrote me and said assalamu alaikum to me. So in replying, I have to say salam to them also. And I have the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say so and so also. Wallahu a'lam. Wa la taqulu liman alqa alaykum as-salam wa alaykum as-salam lasta mu'mina. So this is another way of looking at it too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says تَبْتَغُونَ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَغَانِمُ كَثِيرَةً كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. So that if you see somebody and you have to make inquiries, please take your time to make inquiries. Do not jump to conclusions. Allah has emphasized this to show you the importance of that inquiry, and to also say that the life of the human is sacred. Allah does not like the spilling of blood. And that's why He's telling you what to do and He's repeating it so that you don't forget. So that you'll be aware of the fact that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do is you must please try to investigate. So try to ascertain that, okay, this thing is like this, before you take the action of killing the person. It is better for the person, if he is a non-Muslim, but he's pretending to be a Muslim, and you accept him as a Muslim, and he kills you, it's better for you. Because you'll be a shaheed. Inshallah, your sins will be forgiven, you have al-Jannah, and you have the right to even do shafa'a for your relatives, for your parents, and so on the day of resurrection. So it's a plus for you. Rather than kill him, let him kill you. That is, if he is not a true Muslim. At least you accepted him because you followed the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he reneges on his promise that's left to him, it's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that you do. Whatever you conceal in your chest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, and He will make it open and expose it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good thoughts always. And may He always continue to improve the relationship between the Muslim Ummah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So the next ayah, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة. وكلا وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين اجرا عظيما. This ayah is saying, because we're still talking of jihad, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين. From amongst the mu'minin, see, Allah has said من المؤمنين. Like he said in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُتَتَلُوا. It's Muslims that are fighting one another now and killing one another. But Allah says they are مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are from amongst the believers. Because killing does not make you a non-Muslim. This is also answering the question, the puzzle of yesterday. It is further shedding light on the puzzle of yesterday. That you killed a mu'min does not make you a kafir. you are still a Muslim, but you have committed a great sin. So Allah says, those who refuse to go to the battlefield from amongst the mu'minun, غَيْرُ أُولِ الضَّرَرِ, Allah says, with the exception of those who did not go because they had a problem, a health challenge, either because they are blind or because they had a fracture or they are lepers or they have some health challenge which makes it impossible for them to go to war. Those ones, if they have the intention and they wish, they have the longing for it, Allah will be rewarding them even as you are there fighting and they are in the comfort of their rooms. They are getting rewards just like you do. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there is no valley that you tread, there is no path you walk, there is no mountain you climb, there is no time you descend, but they will be with you in spirit. Meaning they will get the reward you are getting. There is no machete that you receive on your body, except that they are also getting the reward just like you are getting, even though they were not struck. Because the intention is there, but the body cannot take them there. Because they do not have the wherewithal health-wise to go there. And so Allah will be rewarding them for the intention. So Allah says He's not talking about those. He's talking about those who are hale and hearty, can go to the battlefield, have the wherewithal, they have the animals to take them there, they have the weapons to use and so on. But they refuse to go. Allah says, min al-mu'minin, they are still among the mu'minun. So, actions alone do not make a Muslim a kafir. It has to be a thing of the heart. You know, this is, look at the one in Surah 2 Al-Fatih. Allah says, سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. But Allah says, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. You see, these ones are not called mu'minun. Said, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. That's why he says to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ ضَرًّا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ نَفْعًا. Like he also says, سَيَقُولُ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ إِذَا انْطَلَقْتُمْ إِلَى مَغَانِمَ لِتَأْخُذُوهَا ذَرُونَا نَتَّبِعُكُمْ. يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. So these ones, Allah has borne witness that these ones are not Muslims. So, قُلْ لَنْ تَتَّبِعُونَا كَذَلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَسَيَقُولُونَ بَلْ تَحْسُدُونَنَا بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So with these, Allah has shown the difference between these ones and the others. The others are not munafiqun. They are mu'minun, there is Islam in their hearts. But they are weak. They are not as strong as others. So the things that some others can do, they cannot do. But they believe that those things are right. They believe that those things are compulsory. Only that they are weak. They are not able to do them. They are still Muslims. So Allah says, those who refuse to go, even though they can't, they cannot be compared to those who made the sacrifice and went. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this Surah Al-Hadid, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلُ أُولَئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلُوا And Allah says, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. So it's the same, it's a similar thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about these ones here. These ones, they could not go to the war, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are not comparable to those who went. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ دَرَجَةً. Those who go to do jihad with their wealth and their health, they go there to make the sacrifice with their lives. They cannot be compared to those who did not go. That is, we are not talking about those who did not go because they could not, because they were ill or something, not those, or because they were women or children, not those. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. But each of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised Jannah. Once you are a Muslim, once you are a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give you Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ عَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could forgive you and take you straight to Jannah, or could punish you and later bring you out and take you to Jannah. وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the mujahideen much better than those who refused to go and sat at home even when they could go. With a very big reward, their difference is much. They are not comparable. That's why amongst the Muslims, some are higher than others. That's why the Ahlul Sunnah say, Iman decreases and it increases. With your good acts of ibadah, your Iman increases. With your terrible acts, your Iman decreases. So the person who keeps their beard is better than the person who shaves the beard. But the person who shaves is still a Muslim, not a non-Muslim. But his Iman is not as strong as that of the person who keeps the beard completely. Because the commandment from Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is uful luha. Keep your beard, keep. So don't even trim, don't, just keep it as it comes. Let it be. You can comb it, you can oil it, but don't touch it, don't clip it. So if you keep it like that, your reward is more than that of the person who keeps clipping his. But the person who clips is still keeping with his beard, even though he's not keeping it the way Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said he should. This, however, this is a little contentious, but because some disagree with this and say that if it measures up to a hand span like this, that you can cut whatever is beneath. Even Al-Imam Al-Albani believed that that was even compulsory in his own case, because he found the Sahaba were doing that. But it has to be that you measure like this, and then whatever comes under, then you cut that. So it doesn't still apply to those who keep cutting their own, and you have to look very well to see whether the person is keeping beard or not. This is not the case. This is not the one we're talking about. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But then all are Muslims. Both are Muslims. So you won't say the other person is not a Muslim simply because he did not do that. The same thing, if you are able to avoid some sins, this one will raise your Iman. It doesn't mean that the person who falls into those sins, even though he believes he's sinning, he cannot be a kafir. This is the problem with these Boko Haram and other sects that we have of extremists. They refuse to look at this. Once they set a standard and you don't meet it, then your blood is halal for them. They can steal your blood. But this is a very big mistake. That you're better than somebody, that you've been able to abide by a commandment of the Quran and Hadith in some cases, and the person has not, as long as he believes this is right, only that he has not been able to do that, then you have no right to judge him and say he is a non-Muslim, based on that alone. And anyway, even if you think that one qualifies to be declared a non-Muslim, it is not you as the individual, or it is not you as a sect or group that should declare that. Allow the Mufti al-Aam, allow al-Imam al-A'zam to do that himself. If he does not do it, leave him, it's between him and Allah. It's his responsibility, not yours. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. That is, if he has sulta, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. So do the one that you can and leave the rest to the Amir. You cannot use your hand to change it because you are not the Amir. You do not have that sulta. Allah Ta'ala alam. So then he says, دَرَجَاتٍ This daraja that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these ones who go to the jihad, who go to partake in the jihad, they have daraja more than the ones who do not go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has placed them over the ones who do not do the jihad. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean with this daraja? The ulama say, الدَّرَجَةُ هِيَ الْمَنْزِلَةُ الْعُلْيَا وَالْفَضِيلَةُ الْكُبْرَى. It means that you are a degree above the person, and that you have some bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above those ones who do not toe the line, or who have not done what you have done. And Imam al-Tabari did the takhrij of a hadith bi isnadin hasanin an Qatada, on the authority of Qatada bin Di'ama, who said, darajatin minhu wa maghfiratan wa rahma. The meaning of this, kana yuqar, it used to be said, al-Islamu daraja, wal-hijratu fil-Islami daraja, wal-jihadu fil-hijrati daraja, wal-qatlu fil-jihadi daraja. That this daraja Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, Islam itself is daraja. So once you are Muslim, you have that position above the person who is not a Muslim. But then it increases when you do the hijrah, you leave your place and go to another place for the sake of Allah. You leave here because Islam is not being practiced and they are not allowing you to practice Islam. They are tormenting you for being a Muslim. You leave this place and go to another place where there are Muslims to be able to practice Islam. You are now a degree again above. So Allah increases your daraja as a result of that. Then if you're also able to join the jihad and fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also a daraja above that. وَالْقَتْلُ فِي الْجِهَادِ. You go to the jihad, you kill for the sake of Allah, you also gain a daraja as a result of that. He also brought another hadith with a sahih isnad this time around. This one is sahih, authentic, on the authority of Ibn Wahab, who said, سَأَلْتُ بْنَ زَيْدٍ عَنْ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. I asked the son of Zayd concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Then he said, دَرَجَاتٍ مِّنْهُ. The ayah we just read now. He said, وَالدَّرَجَاتِ هِيَ السَّبْعُ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا فِي سُورَةِ بَرَاءَةٍ. He said the darajat he's talking about here are those seven things that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Bara'ah, Surah Al-Tawbah. What are they? مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُصِيبُهُمْ ظَمَأٌ وَلَا نَصَبٌ فَقَرَى حَتَّى بَلَغَ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ قَالَ هَذِهِ السَّبْعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ These seven that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in those ayat, he cut the ayah because it's long, and then the things that are mentioned in between. Allah subhanahu Ibn Zayd said, these are the darajat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. So, the first daraja will be the person who did not do the takhalluf, instead he went for the jihad, that is daraja. Then he went to the jihad, he left his property, he left his family, he did this and that, that's also a daraja. He was able to do the bay'ah, like Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايَعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايَعُونَ اللَّهَ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ Then another place he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ So the end of the ayah. So their mubayah is also a daraja, and so on and so forth till the end. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So this gives them daraja over those who did not get that. So the Sahaba, who were able to engage in all those battles, they even got the bay'atul ridwan and so on and so forth. They were able to fight in Badr. They were able to fight in Uhud. They were able to do this and that till the end. There is no way they can be like us who did not go to those battles. They have that daraja above us, and there is no way we can be like them. We can only strive, but we can never, fit into their shoes. We can never, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a fadl that we do not even have the chance to go near. So if you hear somebody today insulting the Sahaba, he's only telling you that he is not amongst those that will ever get any of that daraja at all. That he is denying himself that. Because those whom Allah has given that daraja, he is trying to bring them down and to say that they have nothing. When Allah has mentioned, he said, لَقَدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Allah has said he's pleased with them and you are unpleased with them. This shows that you do not have any of that daraja. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not put us amongst those. Especially those who will open their mouths and insult Aisha radiallahu anha. The person in whose room the Prophet preferred to die and was always looking for the opportunity to die in her room, and he died resting on her bosom. And that's what he wanted to do. And they buried him in that room as a result of that. You go to say Assalamu alayka ya Rasulallah to him in Aisha's room. Yet you are cutting the person who had the room. The person whom you are going to say salam to loved this person so much that he wanted to die in her room. And he died there. Whatever offense you think she committed later, if you are the one that even gives sins, if you think she committed a sin later, won't you consider that she already had that daraja? And that she's still a Muslimah, and so she has that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised her. Since Allah has not come back to say, okay, I no longer promise her. Allah is saying that the Muslims that did not even go to the battle, they are still Muslims. And Allah says, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى Let alone those who were part of all of that, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ You know, to the Ahlul Bayt of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah says, Allah only wants to purify you, you Ahlul Bayt. And yet, you want to be insulting such people? This is a very terrible thing to do. Wallahu ta'ala ala. We have run out of time. So inshallah, I think we have gotten to the end of that ayah, have we? This time we're able to do the exegesis of that. Darajatun minhu wa maghfiratan wa rahma wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. So inshallah, we'll read inna alladhina tawaffahum al-malaikatu zalimi anfusim. Inshallah, that's verse 97. Next time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for us to gather here. May Allah forgive the mistakes we have made. And I know there are plenty. If we have said anything right, and I know those are very, very little, then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and to reward us for it. Bi rahmatihi wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Now, from which 119? Says, a civil servant who has a saving of money amounting to the nisab of zakah. What is the Islamic ruling on him giving out zakah from those savings? If he saved the money, the time that he knew that the money now got up to the nisab, for instance, he was saving and saving until it got to, what is the nisab now? Is it up to 2 million? Because I know that the Naira has seriously crashed, so I don't know what the nisab would be. Eh? About what? Is it just 1.2? Should be more than 1.2 now. Eh? That 1.2 is probably a long time since you knew that. Should be much, much more than that now, because the Naira is, the value of the Naira is something else now. I don't think it should be up to that. But whatever it is, whatever amount it is, you know, it fluctuates. So it's not possible for anybody at any to say every time that he knows the exact amount. You have to be in the field to be able to say, okay, compared to this and this, this is what the value will be now. We have experts who post it on WhatsApp and the rest every time. If anybody knows it, well, whatever the nisab is, I mean, it has to be up to 2 million. It has to be more than 2 million because the Naira has seriously, the time that I knew it to be 1.2 was when the Naira was probably 190 something or so. It's much more than that now. So it's 2.1 now, okay. So that if the money gets up to, if it's 2.1 something something, it has to get to that amount exactly. If it's, for instance, 2,133,000, for instance, if he's saving the money and the money gets up to 2,133,000 today, he notices today, today is what? Is the 11th day of Ramadan. The mistake that Muslims make is that when they are calculating such things, they use the Gregorian calendar. That's a mistake. You're supposed to use the Hijri calendar. So you say, okay, today is the 11th day of Ramadan. That money will be there. If nothing touches it, it doesn't fall below the standard. And the nisab does not skyrocket. It doesn't go beyond this amount. And it stays like this till the next year, till the next 11th of Ramadan. Then you give zakah on it. So from the time it gets to the nisab, it has to stay for a year. It's not just when it gets to the nisab that you immediately give the zakah. I hope this is understood. So for people who say their salary every year they'll be given, every month they'll be given zakah. MashaAllah, your iman is high, but it's not zakah you're giving, it's just sadaqah. You don't give zakah like that. Zakah is once in a year, and it has to be that the amount has gotten to the nisab, and from the time it was the nisab, it lasted for a year without ever dwindling, without ever coming below the nisab. If you saved it and you have 23 million, this is much above the minimum nisab. So you were taking some money from it and all that. Sometimes we were hiding, sometimes we were taking. But at no time did the money get beyond, below the nisab. At no time. Until it goes to a year, then you give the zakat. So whatever amount is left at the time it gets up to a year, then you give 1/40 of that. That's 2.5%. You give that as zakat. Please, when you are about to give, let me know. Especially if it is 230 million. May Allah have mercy on our souls. May Allah provide us all with that which is halal and that which will be good for us. Yes, next question. Is it good for Muslims to do masturbation if he or she fears to commit adultery or fornication? This issue is an issue that has become sensitive because most ulama, are of the view that masturbation is haram completely. Most ulama, majority, of the view that masturbation is haram. However, there are a few ulama, but also authorities in the field of the Sharia, who have the opinion that it is permissible, only that it is not encouraged. Is not encouraged. So such ulama would say, if one finds himself in such a condition that they have no option, no other option apart from masturbation, that if it's not masturbation, then the fear is that such people could fall into haram. But then they do not have the means of marriage. And they said, at such time, such people can masturbate, but not make it habitual until such a time that Allah makes it permissible, makes it possible for them to marry. Then they will marry and stop it. The problem with it, the reason why it's not encouraged, is that once you get used to it, sometimes even when you have gotten married, you will still be masturbating even while your wife is on your bed. Because it has become a habit. Habits die hard. That's why some habits, you are encouraged to stay off them, to not ever get used to them, because once your body gets used to them, they become very difficult to abstain from. That's why it's not encouraged. I don't want to go into the reasons now. There are reasons. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is of that view, that it is permissible. Al-Imam ibn Jarir in al-Tabari, in his tafsir, also brings that view from Abdullah ibn Abbas. The ayah that the people who say masturbation is haram depend on is the ayah of Surah al-Mu'minun, the other in Surah al-Ma'arij. Both are saying, والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. So he says, فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. Allah says, والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون. Amongst the mu'minun are those who are wary of where they put their private parts. Says, illa ala azwajihim, except when they are having intercourse with their wives, aw ma malakat aymanuhum, all the slaves that their right hands possess. Fa innahum ghayru malumin. These ones are not to be blamed. Faman ibtagha wara'a dhalika. But whoever seeks a way of pleasure other than these two, other than wife or slave. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Then those are the transgressors. So they say masturbation is a way other than wife or slave. Therefore, it is also transgression. But Ibn Jarir in al-Tabari reports that Abdullah ibn Abbas says that فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى إِمْرَأَةً غَيْرَ زَوْجِهِ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ فَهَذَا هُمُ الْعَادِي هُوَ الْعَادِي. This is the one that is transgressing. So whoever commits zina, says Allah is talking about zina, is not talking about masturbation. Of these two interpretations, which one do you have the Sharia strength to condemn? Do you have the strength, Sharia-wise, to condemn any of these interpretations? You don't. So leave the issue like that. Don't get yourself into unnecessary controversy. If any person masturbates based on this fact, let them be. But pray for them that Allah will save them from this habit. Because sometimes it gets terrible, and then it could become haram. But you know that even for those who meet with their wives, there are times that they do haram also. You know that? He's meeting his wife, but he's conjugating with her when she is menstruating. Is it not haram? Or he's conjugating with her through the back, using her anus instead of her vagina. Is that not also haram? And that's his wife. So the same way, that could also get to haram, depending on how, what extent you get to and what it makes you do. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I try to avoid talking about this, but once somebody has asked you a question, is an amana. Because I know that some ulama get emotional about this issue and they get to the extent of condemning anybody who even tries to say that it is halal, and they look at you as a pervert, that something is haram and you are saying it's halal. It's not perversion. It's not necessarily true that anybody who says it's halal, that he is also doing it. I will never believe that Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was masturbating. Neither will I say that Ibn Jarir, who also brought that, was also masturbating. Another ulama who also agreed with that. I will never say that. So it's not right to jump to that kind of conclusion. It is a thing of, it is like an intellectual exercise, and everybody has their reason that they give for this. And even other reasons that they give too. There are defenses that exist in the Sharia. I know some of them. But you know, I don't think we have time to get into all of them now. But then the issue is not as serious as others, as some people make it look. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But I would prefer that one does not masturbate. It's preferable. So if there is a young man who is getting into such a condition, and somebody has a girl to give him to marry, it's better that you give him a wife to marry so that he doesn't even get into it in the first place, as long as he's qualified to marry. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I think we'll run out of time. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahawlu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik, wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannatak, wa min al-yaqini ma tahawwanu bihi alayna masa'ib al-dunya. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعل الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.